Revelation chapter 6. This, of course, takes us from where we've been in the past few weeks together. We've been looking at the book of Revelation. I believe it is a timely study for us to get back to because the winds are blowing on every front. And being that is true, I think it's very important for us to try to keep our wits about us, which simply means that we want to make sure that we are using the right compass. I don't know what you're thinking out there, but I know what's being said on many fronts, and in our generation, a lot of weird things are going on. Let me suggest one thing that you might not have noticed. When the president spoke at CPAC last Saturday, he actually had the two eagles on top of the flags. Only the president of the United States is allowed to have the eagles on top of the flags. Little stuff's being telegraphed for some reason. Another thing that's interesting is that Joe Biden's been traveling around on Air Force Two. And also, Air Force One went to Switzerland last week, and it is believed that President Trump was on it. So I don't know what to do with all that. I just know there's some interesting things, and I have that second thing on good authority. Just be mindful. There's a lot going on in our world. Things are not what they seem at times, which means that when I preach today on this passage, that I'm preaching from a heart that is really trying to help us all understand that this should not surprise us, that things are kind of weird right now. If you think it's weird, just hang on. I think it's going to get a lot weirder with the passing of certain laws and the effort to somehow actually hobble the entire country. And the desire for people to stand up and be counted probably has never been, certainly in our day, more pronounced. So Revelation chapter 6 is where we find ourselves now, brought back down to the earth. Chapters 4 and 5 put us in the throne room of Almighty God. And the centerpiece of it all was actually the Lion of the tribe of Judah, also known as the Lamb that was standing in the midst of the throne room as one that was slain. It's kind of this paradoxical sense, but we understand it, for we've read the book. Having read the book, we understand that Jesus is the centerpiece, the one around whom all creation gathered. If you were to really kind of sum up what happened in chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation, you would find in chapter 4 that there was a consensus that Jesus was worthy because he created all things. And we would find at the end of chapter 5 was where he was actually seen as the Redeemer. And he was worthy to take to himself the authority and the power and the kingdom and all that. But understand, what were they saying? They were saying, we all agree. In other words, a consensus had been arrived at in the heavens that it was time for God to move. You know, it's good to have everybody on board, isn't it? And what we're having right now is a whole lot of conflict. There's fear and there's deception and there's all kinds of nonsense that's going on in our world, not in the heavens. There's no disarray there. There's no confusion there. God's on the throne and he is in control. And he's got everything going according to the plan that he knew would unfold right as we go along here. So we are not worried, for we know who's writing the story. When we come to chapter 6, we find that another item from chapter 5 is being brought to our attention, and that is that scroll. The beginning of chapter 5, we find that there was a book in the midst of the heavens that no one could even look at. No one could even approach unto. But the one elder leans in to John and he says, "Don't weep, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah had prevailed to not only look at it, but to take the book and break the seals." What we're coming to in chapter 6 is the breaking of the seals. The Bible says in verse 1, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" Now, the first thing I want you to see in verse 1 is that the Lamb opens this book. The Lamb is the one who takes and breaks the seals. And to put it back into our mind's eye how this looks, it's an unfurling of a scroll. And each section is its own sealed section. Okay, so when he unfurls the first, he has to break a seal to unfurl, but then he finds another seal, so he stops right there. And we're going to be told about each seal in succession. And understand that the succession of these seals is important. for us. Because everything that's going to be told to us in the unfurling of this scroll is really going to represent a time that God has already prophesied would come to pass. Interestingly enough, from chapter 6 to chapter 19, we actually have a catalog, an amplification, if you will, of the 70th week of Daniel. We'll get to that in a moment. But for right now, I want you to notice the word thunder. You know, thunder is that which tells us a storm's coming. If you've lived on this earth for any amount of time, you know that this is what happens. You'll hear some thunder. You go, oh, man, a storm's coming. There's people talking about that today. A storm's coming. You may not have known this, but in 2017, President Trump had a gathering of many generals, military people. When he had that gathering of all these military people, he brought the press into the room. And when he brought them into the room, the press were all there taking their photos. And he said, you know what this is? I mean, there was about 40 people in there, you know, spouses of the military leaders. He said, you know what this is right here? And this was late 2017. And he said, this is the calm before the storm. They said, what storm? He said, well, it's just the calm before the storm. The next day, they were out on the lawn signing some piece of legislation. And again, one of the reporters said, Mr. President, what storm were you talking about? He said, thank you. And he winked at him. He wants it known that there's some kind of a storm brewing. What I'm telling you is there's a storm brewing. Even our past president mentioned it in overt ways. If you go back a little bit further, you would recognize perhaps that when the president did his inauguration address in 2017, in his inauguration, he was flanked by military leaders. Never happened before. All of the presidents of the past that were living were naval were there behind him seated. And right as President Trump had come in, all of these military leaders came in and stood behind him. And he said, we're transferring the power from those that are in D.C. to the people. And he had the leaders of all the different military groups. And after he had spoken for about 2 minutes, they all began to file back off. It was as if he was just letting you know, we got this. And I'm not sure what it all means, are you? But I do know this. The Bible is very specific here, saying there was a thunder. And there was a coming storm. Now, if we don't think there's a coming storm by now, then we're not paying attention. Because I'm telling you guys, listen, we've had several trillion dollars of debt racked up in the past, well, 12 to 14 months. It's been phenomenal. And you cannot do that without destroying the economy. There are people right now talking about cryptocurrency in a way that is unlike anything they've ever talked about before, trying to get rid of all of the cash. There's Bitcoin out there, and there's a couple of other different alternatives in cryptocurrency, and some of those who are on that train and understand it very well talk to us about something going to be happening very big. Now, for years I've preached that the handwriting's been on the wall. Something has had to happen to America. And who would have thought over the past 12 to 14 months America could be hobbled as badly as we've been hobbled? That we could get everybody in the country to be afraid, everybody to be separated from one another. The churches to actually shut down. They're telling us 60% of the churches that have shut down under COVID will not reopen. They have hit their mark in a very huge way. And there are very few preachers right now in larger churches that are willing to take the hit. And yet there are some, and praise God for them, because we have to take a stand. The church needs to be the church at this time, if ever it's needed to be the church. The Bible says there's coming a storm. Jesus breaks the seal. One of the four living creatures came up to John, and he said, come and see. And the Bible says, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, this is very significant because many people have tried to figure out who's this white rider. Well, what we know is we know he's not Jesus, because Jesus doesn't come until chapter 19. So we just take that right off the table. He is not Jesus Christ, because Jesus comes at the end. This is the beginning of the breaking of the seals. Jesus is breaking the seals. It doesn't say he's the one on that horse. It just says one on a white horse, and he has a bow, which means it's talking about a warfare that takes place at a distance. Because what we would see if we were to go back into chapter 19 of Revelation, we would see that Jesus comes with a sword. Now, that's up close and personal. Jesus comes with a sword. This guy comes with a bow. And the Bible says that he comes with a bow and a crown was given unto him. Now, this is a Stephanus. This is not a diadem. Difference? Well, the Stephanus is a crown that is earned by virtue of some exploits that have been accomplished. He's one who did compete in an event and overcame. And it says a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, we've never had more light than we are getting right now about what's going on in human events. And I just want you to know that this world is getting ready to cry out for somebody to take over. We're looking for somebody who can make sense of it all. Put that in your pouch, okay? Just hold on to that. Because I think very deliberately that as we unfold the next several months, we're going to be finding out that there are works in the midst of us that are phenomenal in their own right. And I can't comment much further but to say, this is not Jesus. This is not Jesus. But I want you to know, it is Antichrist. And the thing about the Antichrist is he's going to come when there's a great deal of trauma, a great deal of chaos, a great deal of upheaval in the world. The thunder, the angel crying from chapter 4, come up hither. Perhaps the rapture precipitates this. But what I am coming to believe is that we will not be ignorant as to perhaps who the Antichrist is when the time comes. And the reason I think that is because the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 that you're not in the dark that day would overtake you as a thief. And that you're going to have insight and knowledge. So God raptures out the church. Okay? It doesn't matter if we know. But he's not revealed yet when we're raptured out. Even though the Christians might say, I think I know who it is. That doesn't mean that the world will know who it is. In fact, the world's going to think he's pretty awesome. This is a white horse. Back in the day when they used to do the Lone Ranger, you remember he was on a white horse with a white hat. All the good guys were in white hats. And so when we see this white horse rider, we see him as Antichrist, which does not mean he's against Christ overtly. It simply means he's promoting himself as an alternative to Christ. He comes in place of Christ. He comes presenting himself as a Messiah, ultimately. We know this because of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where at one point this Antichrist will actually come into the temple that will have been built at that time, and he will sit down in the Holy of Holies declaring that he is God. That's huge. That's after we're gone, so praise God. And I'm telling you, the upheaval you and I are seeing is huge. And what you're seeing is a whole world that is kind of coming into a place, well, that is sort of on the same page. It's not all excited about globalism as such. No, it's not. But yet that's what's going to be the ultimate outcome. That the whole world will somehow come to a consensus that this white rider will be a huge deal in the overall globe. We will see that in chapter 13 when he's referred to as the beast that cometh out of the sea. And that the whole world will look at him and say, who is like the beast? Who could possibly be like this guy? Now, I don't know if that changes your thoughts on what this guy might look like, but it ought to. Because he's not a bad guy. He's probably very congenial. He's probably very friendly. He's probably very smart, and he's probably very suave. And he probably speaks great swelling words. In other words, when he speaks, he's going to speak words that make sense, that continue to make sense, that continue to hit their mark. And so the white horse rider is the first one. The Bible says that he broke the seal, and John saw a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and he had a crown, and it was given to him. If you recall back when we went through Daniel chapter 11 and we looked at how the king of fierce countenance was there, we were going through all the histories of how some of the different kings was dealing with things. And one of the kings had new ideas. He got beat down in the south and he went off kind of with his tail between his legs and he went and conquered other smaller nations. But what he would do is he would take the money that he got from one kingdom he would conquer and he would give it to all the people in the next kingdom he would go to conquer, thus getting them on his side and then only having to conquer a few, but eventually having this huge army behind him, starting small and getting bigger and more daunting, and eventually came back and dealt soundly with the king of the south. I'm saying these were tactics in Daniel 11 that he used that were unique, and here we have this rider of the white horse. He is given a crown. I find that interesting. He did take it. He was given this crown. Everybody say, hey, you, okay? We want you. And the whole world will look for somebody to go to when the rapture has occurred and the economies, I believe, have collapsed. Why do I say economies? Well, the Bible says in verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and that there should be given unto him a great sword. So we have a red horse now. Now, if you've paid attention to some of your prophets in the Old Testament, you know this horse motif is not new. Zechariah chapter 1, the Bible actually talks about these horses, and Zechariah is given all these visions. He's got the book that's kind of called the Revelation of the Old Testament because of all of the visions he gets. And in the first chapter, he sees a white horse, and then he sees a speckled horse. And when he's told what they are, he's told that these are the movements of God in his providential working. They represent that movement of God. God is allowing things to happen. I say that to let you know this, that when these riders come, God is letting them come. Satan has never been more than the unwilling servant of God. He can only go so far and no further. What he can do is limited by the Almighty. It is not equal and opposite forces at war here. It is not God is equal on one side and the devil is equal on the other side and they're having an arm wrestling match. None of that. When it comes down to it, he will be dealt with soundly by the Archangel Michael. God won't even bother himself with this. Just it's time. Take care of that. Let's move on in the program. Is his attitude. He's distanced from it because it doesn't matter. You see, even as those angels that did not keep their proper estate in Genesis chapter 6, even as those angels were placed in chains until an appointed time, which will come back before us in chapter 9, and we're going to see those angels released. What I'm saying is when they were out of control, God just put them in chains. Said, you're done. You're going into this abyss that the demons were worried about back when Jesus was walking on the earth. And don't send us to the abyss before the time and so forth. They would cry. And here he is again showing us that God's providential movements are afoot. The first was the white horse. The second is the red horse. This red horse represents for us him that taketh peace from the earth. The idea is war, right? He's taking peace and creating the vacuum of war. Do you hear the rumblings of war out there at all? Do you feel it? I mean, we're looking at a time that is unlike any other time before. You've got thunderings. Did you know that Trump was the only one who didn't have wars? He de-escalated. If you look at all the wars of all these previous presidents in recent memory, they all had their wars. President Trump was de-escalating wars. It was kind of weird to look at his resume. He was de-escalating. ISIS was quieted down. Didn't hear much about them. And so we see him, as it were, having a totally different distinction. But what we're seeing here is there's coming a time when war's going to burst. You know, you blow up a balloon so far. And we've all been there, right? If you have kids or grandkids, you're working it, man. You're going to make that party fun and you're blowing those babies up and boom, right in your face. Well, right now, it's almost like we've created a bit of a vacuum in our world. Who's going to be the top dog? Who's going to be the alpha in this world right now? You see, our president and his present state needing to be kind of tuned out because WhiteHouse.gov would turn him off because he might say something he shouldn't or whatever. These are weird days. We've gone from being worried about and feared in the world to being almost laughed at. And I don't say that because it's disrespect for Biden. What it is it's just an obvious thing. Even the people that have been behind him are starting to say, we're worried about what he would do with the codes after the Syrian strike a week or so ago. And they're trying to say, let's get it by, you know, some kind of group. Let's get him into a quorum with a couple, three or four other people at least. Let's just make sure he doesn't do anything that might be not in keeping with maybe the collective ideas out there. Now, I say to you, war is going to be taken. Somebody's going to step up. China? China going to step up. Russia going to step up. Syria going to step up. Israel going to step up. You know, Israel and Saudi Arabia aren't even talking to President Biden. Not even talking to him. It's interesting. The world we're in right now is just quivering. It's a quivering mess right now. And that's why I thought we needed to go through the book of Revelation, so that we might ask ourselves some questions. He says that he had a red horse here, and this red horse takes peace from the earth. And the Bible says that they would take peace from that he would take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. You know, Portland's still a mess, right? You know, there's a lot of stuff going on there. You know that they've like quadrupled, and I'm just throwing out a number here, but the budget down in Missouri, where the first upheaval from the murder of George Floyd or whatever went on down there actually happened. It's insane what's actually being said and done and manipulated. But there are still right now BLM marches. Did you know there was a BLM march after the 6th of January, after the upheaval from the march where everybody came and, you know, all the people who were trying to get the electors to be reconsidered and so forth? A couple of days later, they had a march right outside in Washington, D.C. Our streets, our house, our streets, our house, or something like that. They have their chant, and they're out there in the middle of Washington, D.C. Oh, and by the way, we should probably mention, for posterity's sake, when we're all gone and the rapture happens tomorrow, wouldn't that be nice? But whenever it happens, that in fact, there are barbed wire fences outside of the Capitol building and the White House right now. That's insane. Never been like that before, ever. Our borders are open, but the Capitol is safe. The politicians are saying walls don't work, right? So we're saying war, war, trying to stir up some civil war perhaps in our country. I don't know what they're doing. I just know that whatever they're doing, it seems to be bent upon bringing this country to its knees. The Bible says, and we're not the only country represented here. I mean, this is the world we're talking about. This is happening throughout the world. And never has there been so much interest and involvement in geography of what the rest of the world is represented by. You hear things, in fact, today about Japan. You hear things more about Australia. You hear more about the lockdowns in Europe. You hear about the different states. You hear more about Germany. Doctors all over the world getting on and cataloging their opinions of things that have been manipulated against us. And they're making their statements known in the discourse of the hour. The Bible says that this horse is going to take peace from the earth and that they're going to kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now, when it says that they're going to kill one another, this doesn't sound as much like war overtly, but it probably includes it. You see, the Bible actually teaches us, especially in Luke and in Matthew, where it talks about the last days, that there are going to be times coming at the end of the age when people will kill you and feel they're doing God a service. Now, that's been localized to Islamic jihad kind of things in recent days. See, they think they're doing God a service. You know, you kill the infidel as part of their doctrine. Now, I know it's not popular to say out loud what's true, but that's what's true. Jihad is actually the sixth pillar of Islam. They've got five pillars they talk about. But the sixth one is you get direct to paradise if you go into eternity through jihad, through a holy war. So that's just something that's true. It's not debatable. It's out there. It can be researched and found out. But that's not all that's going to happen. You see, this world has a leader. And we refer to him as the spirit of the age, the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. He's in charge of it all. He's manipulating things in his own way and unto his own ends because he has a goal in mind. We know what it is because he's already told us what it is. He said, I will be like the Most High. And he's going to achieve that when the Bible says in this very book of Revelation that the whole world worshipped the dragon. That old serpent and Satan, it goes on to say. So as not to be unclear. So we have this movement in our world and you have people killing one another. Interestingly enough, in America, though buildings have been set on fire, only a few overt murders have taken place. But that's now. The Bible says, he that letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. Okay. The one that restrains, when the restrainer is taken out of the way, then it's all going to come into its own. We believe that to be removal of the church, removal of the salt and light, giving the world what it wants. Be careful what you ask for, we've always told our children. You just might get it. And we know it's true. And the world will get what it wants. It was back in the times of the Second World War where I can't remember the guy's name, but he said, give us a man, be he God or the devil, we will take him, because they were in a place of panic and didn't know how to navigate such precarious times. Well, in verse 4, the Bible says this horse was red, he took peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And it says, and there was given unto him a great sword. So this is up close and personal. This is in your face kind of stuff. And we're living in a time where even I, right now, have things I want to say, but I will not say them because certain people in the world which will hear what I say on radio or in the internet are not going to know how to navigate those things. Guys, listen, you and I need to get our eyes on our head because this world is starting to ramp up to these days. And if you and I are in a place where we cannot hear or receive the truth, it's going to be problematic in a big way for us. The Bible says in verse 5, when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, what this is depicting for us is clear to some and maybe murky for others. But the idea of there being balances in the hand of the rider of the black horse depicts the idea of famine. You see, when the world is devoid of God, and it's asked him to leave. It's asked him to leave the schools. It's asked him to leave the public square. It's asked him to leave the courtrooms. It's asked him to leave. Would you please leave? Why do the heathen rage and the nations imagine a vain thing? Let us cast his cords off of us. That's what they're doing. Psalm 2 talks about it, predicts it all the way back then. And here we are today. The world wants nothing to do with God. That's why they want to shut down the churches. Do you know they did not shut down a lot of things during COVID, but they shut down churches with soldiers and National Guard. They go in and shut them down out in California. And you know, there's a pastor right now sitting in jail for a meeting in Canada. 400 people church. And he just said, you know what? The Bible says we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He says, I'm not going to tell you not to come. I'm going to be here. If 5 people show up, we're going to have church. But everybody was showing up. Same thing happened with Grace Church out in California with John MacArthur in Los Angeles, where he preaches. The people would show up. He said, you just keep coming. Y'all are going to get me in trouble, he said one day. This preacher's in jail today. He's in jail today because he preached the Word of God. He just said, we're going to have church. We're going to be the church. And he's in prison without bail because he's so to be feared. Do you realize that the insidiousness of the powers that be are being manipulated in a very big way by people who don't have any skin in that game? They're just doing what they're told. And so many seem to be compromised that they're being manipulated. When we came down with a vote from our Supreme Court not to hear these voting irregularities and assess that and get verdict, when they wouldn't hear it, that was a verdict. They know what they would find. And it's just crazy times. Guys, listen. The Bible says there's going to be a black horse. Do you feel like that? Do you see it on your preachers on the TV? They come wheeling out their boxes of 25-year food. Well, I got news for you. You aren't going to need 25-year food. Okay? If this is that, we're going to be out of here pretty soon. So if you got the 25-year food, put some notes on it for the people who find your house and go in there and get your stuff. And tell them they need Jesus and they need to not take any marks and they need to not take any nonsense from the Antichrist. Just be willing to die. Because that's the only way they're going to get through if they're here at that time. Do you have loved ones that you think might be lost? And when you go, they're going to see your stuff. Leave them a note. I believe he's coming soon. I believe the countries of the world are beginning to ramp up to the place where it's all in place. And the devil is not a fool. He's always had an Antichrist in the wings. He doesn't know. But this is an opportunity like a moth to a flame, I believe, he will not be able to resist. And because of that, we're living in a day where the American people are completely being brought to heel. And we're getting in line. And we were pretty much the last bastion of patriotism and strength and boldness and courage. And now we're angry. at each other on every level. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Want to talk about a super sign, Israel, 1948? This is a big deal, okay? Because if America falls, there's nowhere else to go. And so that's why they have to target us. And they are targeting us. And we've anticipated them targeting us for decades now. And here it is. And who would have written this story? It's a crazy story. The president that was voted in his condition, is just incredible. I look at everything we're seeing in the national level right now in America as a caricature. I mean, you think Dr. Seuss is bad? Well, I think transvestites and drag queens reading to children, I think that's a problem, okay? I think that's offensive. But that's okay, according to modern vernacular. That is okay, and it is going on. And changing the genders of children, 5, 6, 7 years old, and they begin to say, that's okay, that's okay. That's demonic. You've heard me say, right? When the children are being raised for the slaughter, that's when God steps in. Child trafficking is at an all-time high. It's like 7,000 children disappear in the United States every day. Every day. They just disappear. And you and I are living in a day where God sees every single bit of that going on. The Bible says that there's going to be a famine. Do you know why there's going to be a famine? Well, because when war comes, there usually is, number one. But number two, it's because we don't grow our own food anymore. We farmed out our farming. Actually, Purdue Chicken actually takes their chicken, put thousands of people out of work, sends their chickens to be processed in China, and back again. Check it out. Crazy stuff. Why would they do that? Bill Gates has more farmland than any other person in this country. He owns more farmland than any other person. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Oh, we're looking at some pretty crazy times. We've got some real interesting players on the field, and we've got some real interesting circumstances on the move. The Bible says he had a pair of balances, and it says in the verse 6, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. And they say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. A penny, it was the day's pay. So take what you make in a day, or what you made in a day when you were in your working days. Look at that and say, I'm only going to be able to buy one meal if I buy wheat today. That's all a day. Okay, that's a day. That means you don't have anything for electric and gas and even your taxes on your property, which even if you have your house paid off, you still have to pay the taxes on the property. And they own your house then, right? If you don't pay them, they'll take it. I'm just saying that we're looking at a time where if it gets to this point, we're going to be in trouble. And understand, this is after we're gone, but that doesn't mean it's not going to get worse and worse just before he comes, right? The Lord is willing for you and me to have a testimony. In fact, he'd really like it if we'd all wake up. Okay, it's just stop. You know, awake thou that sleepest, right? You are of the day and not of the night, that day should overtake you. Understand that you and I, voting, praying, witnessing, these are the things we can do. Salt and light. That's all God would have us do. When you're looking at these passages before us, it's not out of the question now. The trillions of dollars that we've gone into debt are crippling us. The Jenga pile's about ready to fall. The writing is on the wall. We all know it. You couldn't run your house like that. It's like saying, we're going to get a mortgage on the house, and we're going to get another mortgage on the house. We got 3 mortgages on the house. I've heard people say, yeah, I have a double mortgage. I never really understood that so much. I was a kid when I heard it time. But really, we've got triple, quadruple mortgages on this country. We owe somebody something somewhere, right? Okay, so you and I have to understand the whole words of an old preacher who preached a sermon that was pretty popular back in the day. There's a payday someday. There's a payday someday. And we thank God's for us because we're America. America can't fall. America's too big to fall. You can't take down the Titanic. Well, that's what they said about the Titanic. But you can't take down America. Oh, well, that's what they also said about Israel and Jerusalem back in the day. Ezekiel's sent off into One of the deportations, there was three of them during the Babylonian captivity. And he's preaching to a group of people in Babylonian captivity. They're in captivity! And they're saying it'll be okay! They've been carried away, fingernails pulled out, their young men have been seized, Daniel, you know, his friends, they're all up in the throne room. They're the smartest and the best, but they've been taken, they've been castrated. Oh, it's going to be okay! Right? What? It's going to be okay? We're in bonds, we're in Babylon. They're saying to us, sing the songs of Zion in a mockery. And they answer back, how can we sing the songs of Zion when we're here? And Ezekiel's dauntable task was to help them understand, no, this is going to be a while. You need to plant gardens, build houses, and put down roots. You're going to be here a while. Daniel picks up on it later. 70 years they would be there. Ezekiel's job was to say, no, it's going to fall. And halfway through the book of Ezekiel, he's preaching to them, it's going to fall, and they're saying, it can't fall. It's going to fall. Can't fall. And you know what? He's not even saying it. He's a human pantomime. Everything he did was said through motions, actions, and acting. Wordless pantomiming. He would lay on his side for so many days, and then he would lay on his other side. He would eat food that was cooked over dung, and he was like, oh, it's supposed to be human dung, because he said, it's going to be so bad, so much of a famine, you're going to have to do this. And he said, oh, Lord God, I've never done anything to defile myself. He said, I'll give you cow dung for human dung. But you do that because those people need to know. And you're just going to do it and they're going to wonder what you're doing. He had to dig a hole in the side of his house and get all of his stuff and throw it through the hole. He was a human pantomime. And they would not, listen, they would not believe Jerusalem could fall. Do you know why they didn't believe Jerusalem could fall? Because the temple was in Jerusalem. But suddenly in the middle of the book of Ezekiel, the word came that Jerusalem had been conquered, the temple had been destroyed, and everybody's wind went out of their sails. And what I'm saying to you is when people say America can't fall, they're saying it and they're quoting scripture on certain forums. You'll hear people, oh, God's for us and His thoughts for us are good and He's our strength, He's our refuge, we're under the wings. And they'll say some expletives all around it. Like, this is, oh yeah, we're just God's people and we're the patriots and we're smart. And I'm telling you something. These people are deceived. They think they're okay. They think they got this and they think that the world in which they live cannot fall. I got news. It's falling. And it has to fall. And we knew it would fall. And what I'm saying to you here is there's going to be a famine. And I don't know how people prepare for that. I don't know how long the Lord's going to let us go through. I know this, though. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So even this message going on out over the airwaves, somebody somewhere might say, I need to get right with God. It doesn't matter if anybody else does. Do you know, if you look at America, do you think America has a reason to be spared? The only reason you could possibly have thought of was perhaps that somehow the church is in America. But is the church today the church of Jesus? It's not what it once was, is it? We're not in connection with the head. We're not in submission to the king. We're not in submission to him as what we should be doing. And I'm not talking about behaving. I'm talking about being controlled by God and His Spirit. What does that look like? Well, that looks like love, joy, peace. In fact, the Bible says the fruit, listen, the fruit, singular, the fruit is love. Joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, that all comes out of this. If you don't have love, the Bible says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. The church isn't loving, hot nor cold. Laodicea, you think you need nothing? Laodicea, we're rich and increased with goods. Laodicea, sound system's great. You know, we got all the good things going on. Look how God has blessed us. I'm sorry, folks, that's not what the New Testament church looked like ever. The real church was sometimes underground running for its life. America has been blessed because America was good, but America's not good anymore. We've legalized abortion on demand and run it for several decades now. It's over 50 years, I think. And you and I are looking at these marriages now that are being sanctioned and children being taken from their parents because they don't want them to get confused. We've got companies saying you need to be less white. What's that nonsense? What is that nonsense? If they would have said be less black, they'd have been all over them. Be less Asian, that'd have been all over them. Don't say that. Coca-Cola, be less white. We're living in a day where I could go to jail eventually for saying any of this. I don't even know if it'll make it to the radio. Because I'm just talking to y'all right now. You and I are living in a day where famine is inevitable. I don't know if you've noticed that your shelves are a little bit thinner. You know, all it takes is for the truckers to say, we're not going to drive, which they did talk about not doing that for a while. They certainly weren't going to go into places in Portland and take stuff. They just said, we're not going. But when things get really bad and we can't raise our own food, you're going to have to pay money. And a day's pay is what's going to cost for barley. 3 measures of barley will feed you 3 times in a day. 1 meal for the wheat. 3 meals for the barley. It's going to be bad. This is being brought because partly people are violent. You've got the taking of the peace from the earth, and then you've got the black horse, the famine that comes as a result of that. Do you know in the Civil War, 630,000 people died in the Civil War. At that time, there was about 30 million people in this country. Those 600,000 that died, the lion's share of them were men. So now you have women with children who didn't have birth control, you know, back in those days. So they had a lot of kids and they had a lot of women. And this country was hobbled. And we paid a sore price to break the sin and the blot of slavery in this country. We did that. And now they're telling you to be less white. That makes no sense. They're telling us that guns kill people. Okay, guns don't kill people any more than your pencil failed that test you took when you were a kid. You know, that pencil didn't do it, you did it, right? It's the person. You see, my point is this. Everything is tooled and it's packaged in such a way as to get us to look at ourselves and feel like we need to somehow come up to the bar and do it a different way. I'll tell you what, when you are growing up into Christ and you begin to feel the connections to the ligaments, His head, your hands, your mouthpiece, your smile, your love, what you do, what you can do, how you can facilitate the building up of the body of Christ, which means bringing people to Jesus and being a little bit more loving. When you begin to see that in you, then you and I become the church. That's what we're learning in Ephesians. Guys, listen, we have no idea what the church was back in those days. Those people would go to the stake and they would be singing songs as they died, because Jesus was so real to them. So when the people in America think they can't fall, when people from Jerusalem thought it couldn't fall, I want you to know that when you look at the list of things we got against us, whether it's the pornography industry, whether it's the abortion industry, whether it's the child trafficking, whether it's this or that or the other. You see, the sins of this country are not racial. They're moral. And we're all at the foot of the cross saying, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We have to be the church. And even if we become the church, that doesn't mean, and I mean in a dynamic way, where we're really focused on this field, getting people saved, showing them before the trumpet sounds. I mean, getting a little crazy, like saying something out loud, like, hey, can I talk to you about something? It's really on my heart. Can I really? Can I? And if it scares you so much tears come, let them come. Let them know you love them. Let them know you're worried for them. Listen, I know. Emily Post made it popular. Don't talk about religion, politics. Ran on that. That's not right. Those are the most important things. Somebody said, you shouldn't talk about politics. Listen, the Bible's filled with kings and prophets, and it's politics, politics, politics. Why? Because in the highest levels, things go bad, and then everything goes bad a lot easier down in the grassroots. Famine. They don't care about your food. They want you kneeling. You see, this was a country unique. And now we're not so unique anymore. We don't have leaders, we have rulers. And so now it's just get back to the kingdom's business. God's shaking the rattle out of your hand. Can't play good anymore, play nice. You just have to do your duty, which would have been nice if we'd all been doing it when we should have been doing it. But if it's this point, get back on your horse, go. The Bible says in verse 6 that a measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny, that's a day's wage. And says, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And what that means is the wealthy will be fine. They'll be fine. They aren't going to worry. They're going to have their barbed wire fence. They're going to be fine. No, listen, seriously. You know, I've often kind of negotiated this in my mind. How's this going to work? I've often thought, you know, famine and difficulty financially in this world. America's so important to the grand continuum. I would tell myself that we're the tip of the sword. If it comes to us, it's really bad. Okay? Because, I mean, every other country, you know, they're looking to us saying there's hope. There's something somewhere. How maybe we get our country like that. I don't know. But now America is the one that's got a force guarding our leaders, our rulers. This is crazy stuff. And you've got the states having to stand up and do something. And thank God some are. But what I'm telling you is this book is telling us what's happening. Telling us, listen, what has to happen. The Antichrist has to come. Things have to be so bad we're looking for one. He's going to look really good. He's not going to come in meanness. He's going to come in, you know, suave and perhaps handsome. The Bible says don't be, you know, or don't marvel. It says that Satan himself has transformed himself into an angel of light. Don't be surprised if even his ministers are transformed into ministers of light. So when we come to verse 7, he says, and when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth angel, or fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Think about that. Do you think that when, before the flood, have you ever thought about how before the flood, that man and beast, there was kind of a cohesion there. I mean, there was no eating of meat even before that. It was a crazy time. I mean, it was like wonderful still. They were put out of the garden. They didn't eat the tree of life and live forever in their sins. They died at 800, 900 years old. But once the canopy was destroyed and the sun rays got more hostile and we were crippled down to about, you know, 70 years of age and maybe 80 years of age and some get to 100 years of age, man, things changed because things got hostile. And guess what else changed? There became open season on the animals. You could use the animals for food. And the Bible talks about if any man sheds man's blood, by man must his blood be shed. So the law of tooth and claw were instituted. And you would see the beautiful gazelle being chased down by the tiger or the lion or the cheetah, whatever. You'd see it on those shows when you were a kid, perhaps. Man, I would watch them on Sunday night, you know, The Wild Kingdom. And you'd be thinking, that's cool. And I'm thinking, whoa, you know, because I didn't hunt. And I'd see him take it down, and then the next thing he's ripping and eating, and you see beasts. You think when God takes away the restrainer, maybe your dogs might be a little problem? It says the beasts. He just take away all the things. Why the food? It's his food. He's going to take water later. He's going to take the food. He's going to burn up the vegetation. He's going to take the good water, the bad water, the fish. God's saying, that's mine. And he's going to turn some of that to blood, and the angels are going to say, you're worthy. They've given your saints to the sword and shed your saints' blood, and now you're giving them blood to drink. You see, the mercies, the common grace we all enjoy will not be afforded the enemy. One of the best things you can do for an invading force is just cut off their water supply, keep them far away from any kind of resources so they can feed their army. That's what God will do. But at this point, this is just natural consequences right now. This is what the natural progression is going to be. You're going to have an Antichrist trying to solve a problem that can't be solved. Because they think, listen to me, they think that there's a thing coming called Nisera and Gesera. And they think that's a nirvana on earth. And everybody was just free like we used to be in this republic, they'll say. And then everybody will be happy. You will have no debt and everybody will be good. I got news for you. The heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all. Out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, murders, fornications. Man's heart is wicked. You will not fix man by giving him an antichrist. He can't fix the heart of man. They think they can. That's part of the deception. And so the natural progression will be, first of all, give them an antichrist. Secondly, peace is taken from the earth because what's yours is mine. Look at all these empty houses. I got there first. You see people fighting over your house, your stuff, your car, your gasoline because they can't get any? Famine because now everybody's up against everybody else. Nobody can control it. Go under martial law. The Bible says that this fourth seal is broken and the pale horse comes, death and hell, because there's going to be a fourth part of the earth that's going to be under his power and they're going to kill each other with the sword. There's war. And with hunger, there's famine. And with death. You want to talk about a pandemic? We talk about this was a pandemic. This was not a pandemic. 99% of the people lived through it. I'm going to say that again. 99% of the people lived through COVID. I'm telling you something, guys. This is not time for deception. This is time for truth. 99% of the people live through COVID. The people that were putting on the list of the dead had a lot of other things going on that actually did the killing. Some died from it. It hurt some people. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm just saying it's not a pandemic. This is a pandemic. The fourth rider is the pandemic. And it's not a pandemic of disease. It's a pandemic of death. When body bags are taken, bodies have to be burned and disposed of. And the world's turned on its ear. Never have these words been more pertinent to your hearing than it is today. We're almost there. We saw it coming, and it is coming upon the world. Thankfully, we're out of here if we know Jesus. In chapter 4. Come up hither. And all heaven's consensus, you're worthy to take to you your glory and your honor. You're worthy. Take it. Take it. Go. Take it. You're worthy. And he is. And yet this world's going to raise up some who they're going to say he's like a Messiah. Who is like the beast? The Bible says it's fourth part. Some people believe that means a fourth part of the earth is going to be wiped out. Right now, that's about 2 billion people just from this plague alone. This is only the fourth seal. We're only in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation with the seals. And what we're seeing is there's going to be a fourth part of the world wiped out just from the death of the war and so forth. Another part, way you could look at it, is it's the fourth part of the earth in the sense that it's the civilized world is going to become uncivilized all at once. You know, we talk about third world countries, right? Well, you don't talk about us as first world. We're just a civilized society. Not so much anymore, okay? We had streets burning, okay? We got people rioting streets. And everybody thought, well, they're just trying to get the liberal party in place. No, they don't even like him. There's nothing making them happy. They just want to burn things down. Because that's what they've been taught to do. So when you take out the civilized among the civilized, which is the church, you're going to have potentially a fourth part of the world killed, but also it might not include certain countries. We find in our study when we went through Daniel 11 that there was Egypt and some of the southern parts in Africa. There was China. There was a few people that were coming against the Antichrist when he was over there in Jerusalem. So understand, crazy times, scary times, but a real pandemic. 2 billion. A fourth part is, obviously, 1 in 4 people dead. Now you're going to see the bodies. Now you're going to know the bodies. You know, the mortality rate in America is 100%. Unless Jesus comes, it's 100%. We're all going to die. We all like those ennobling statements of some hero on the silver screen. Help me to die nobly. Help me to die with dignity. Help me to die righteously. Whatever, you know. And I'm saying to you, this is our hour to just live. To just live for Jesus. The Bible says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Largely throughout the history of the church, there's been martyrdom. Somebody has well said that the seed of the church has been the death of the martyrs. And even in this time of 7 years of tribulation, there's going to be salvations wrought. Chapter 7 is big on salvation. It's all about the multitude coming out of the great tribulation. There's going to be all kinds of terrible things happening. But there's going to be some good things happening. But people are going to be beheaded. I've actually come across some articles and pictures of guillotines that have facial recognition, so they can't take anybody out that's not slated to be taken out. And this is equipment to take people's heads off, and it's insane stuff. People are going to be beheaded for their faith. But the Bible says that the saints during the tribulation who get saved after the rapture, because nobody who's saved before the rapture is going into the tribulation. Okay? You're either raptured and you're saved or you're not. You're left behind. If you're left behind, you ain't saved. You didn't get saved. You're left behind. Okay? That's first order of business. But if you get saved, it's probably going to cost you your life. Just like right now, they're pressing you to wear a mask everywhere you go. Do you know Israel is one of the biggest ones pushing this? I told you about the CEO of Pfizer. He got sent away from Tel Aviv because he didn't have a vaccine. He's the vaccine maker. He doesn't have it. They are on steroids in Israel, partly because they've learned that they can be wiped out in a moment, you know, because everybody hates them. And so they say, never again. And they do everything they can to make sure that doesn't happen. And so they're all in for all the movements of the world right now because they're not saved yet. They're not saved. Say, well, Israel's doing it. I know, but that doesn't mean anything. They're lost. They need to get saved. Okay, they just do. And if they're saved, God will direct them appropriately. But right now, their government is kind of doing what governments are doing. They're perpetuating the narrative of our day. But they're doing it a little further. It says there was going to be martyrs everywhere. It says in verse 10 that the souls of them that were slain cried out from under the altar, verse 9, for the word and for their testimony, because God wanted their testimony. God wants our testimony. Did you think about that? He wants it now. Don't make it be a sword to get you to give a testimony. Give a testimony. Just tell them about Jesus. Tell them, you know what the best thing in my life is? Somebody asks you how you're doing. I know. We all feel that way. It's tough. And if we're trying to really get truthful, better not to be. But sometimes we ought to just realize who we're talking to. That's okay among the brethren. But what about the lost? You need to be able to tell them, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I've been reading the Bible a lot lately. And you know what I'm finding? It's just perfect segue. They know it's crazy. But you have the blueprint. You know what's coming. And so you're at peace. Thou wilt keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Because he trusts in thee, O Lord. And the Bible says that these saints are under the altar, and they say, how long? How long, O Lord, verse 10, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? They know God is a just God. See, people think that they live in a vacuum. They're an island to themselves. So they're morally good compared to child traffickers and all of the terrible things out there. Yeah, you look pretty good next to them. But let's turn the tables around a minute. How good are you next to Jesus? Okay, now you got me. Okay, I'm not perfect like Jesus. But you know what he said? He said, you must be perfect. You say, well, I can't be perfect. Okay, so what are you going to do? I don't know what to do. I'm not perfect. What are you going to do? That's why he told you to be perfect, because you must be perfect. And that's what he died for. He died as the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, gave his life, had lived and satisfied every demand of the law. We run to him as the Messiah, who he is, the one who is life incarnate. I am the resurrection and the life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm it. He that comes to me shall not be cast away. He says, no one coming to me will be plucked out of my hand. He says, I am with you always. He said, come to me. These people have to come, but they're going to have to come in the tribulation. Tribulation means they might have to get dead for their faith. The Bible says in verse 11, they were given white robes and they were told to rest a while. They were given robes, told to rest. But they had to come through a very hard door. No one has to go through that. Anyone who goes through that by continually turning from Jesus. Jesus is the only way. Bible says in verse 11, they were given those robes and they were told to rest for a while until their fellow servants and their brethren that should be killed as they were, it should be fulfilled. Verse 12 says, and I beheld, and he opened the sixth seal. And lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell under the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. It says, and the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and every island were moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said, if the mountains and the rocks fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come. And who shall be able to stand? You know what that is? That is an earthquake that takes place and the entire world is shaken by it. It actually says that the islands were moved in verse 14. If you go to chapter 16 toward the end, you'll see all the islands get gone. What he's just done, God's just taken the crowbar and he's dislodged those islands. For 7 years later, those islands are going to be completely gone. Mountains completely gone. It's going to be a level earth. He's going to make the high places low and the low places straight. He's going to give a highway to everybody who's left and bring the sheep and the goats. And he's going to bring a great judgment on the earth. He's going to separate those that live here as a shepherd does his sheep from the goats. He's going to cast the goats into everlasting fire. And I'm telling you guys, we pray it. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And his power, his glory. And its time has come. This passage sets before us a time unlike any other time. Just a couple of words and I'll close. When the Bible says, and the heavens departed as a scroll in verse 14, the word departed means that it's ripped. It's like the heavens are ripped. Like ripped as a scroll is ripped open, but it's rent. It's the idea of ripping and tearing. And it says, and rolled together. And the Bible says, and those mountains were moved. The Bible says, the kings, all these smart people, they know what it is. And the Bible says that they cry fall on us. And I want you to know this. They think it's like hell on earth and they can't bear what's coming. This is only the sixth seal. The seventh seal. The seventh seal is made up of the seven trumpet judgments and the seven bowl judgments. And they're either going to get saved or lost big time. The Bible says very deliberately in chapter 9, in verse 20 and 21, the Bible says, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should worship devils, idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they, verse 21, chapter 9, they of their murders and of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. Now listen, this is what God says is going to be their response to what happens when the heavens roll away like a scroll. And I want you to know that no matter how bad these things sound that are happening, the death, the famine, the white horse sky, all these things, it's nothing like they think. You run to the rocks and you say, fall on us. Even if they did, you're going from the frying pan to the fire. I want to close with this passage. It's in Job 27 in verse 19. The Bible says, the rich man lieth down in death, but he shall not be gathered. He openeth his eyes and he is not. Terror shall overtake him like waters. A whirlwind casteth him away in the night. The east wind hurls him away and he is gone. Even as a storm, it hurleth him out of his place. And this God shall cast upon him and not spare. He would eagerly flee out of the hand if he could. But the demons shall clap their hands at him and shall screech him out of his place. Hell is real. Jesus is on the throne. Rome is burning. You and I need to get right with God as best we know how. Run to Christ, get in the Word of God, cultivate that relationship of holiness. Stop allowing the sins that beset you to beset you, because if you do not have the fluidity of the Spirit, you can't do what He's got you here to do. You're not even going to hear that voice from behind saying, "This is the way, walk in." You're not going to be guided with His eye. You're going to be drying up like David did. He said, "My vitality was dried up." See, sin is what the devil wants to get you with. Man, this world is filled with that. You and I have to run to the cross. We have to say, "Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, it's me. I want to be right with You. This is the hour." Don't you want your clothes to be straightened up when He comes? Do you not want to see Him with joy and confidence and not with shame? 1 John chapter 2, the last two verses, He says, "You got a choice, shame or audacity? On you! It's you!" Because those of us who love Him, the Bible says for us, who love His appearing, He says for us, there's laid up a crown of righteousness, which shall be given to us in that day, as it will also to everyone who loves His appearing. We need to get to the place where we love His appearing. We need to realize this is coming. And it makes perfect sense. As we look at our newspaper and our Bible together, we say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Would you bow with me for a moment?